Thanks so much for joining us today. Our hope and prayer is that God will use this message powerfully in your life and that it'll bring you closer to Him. If you'd like more information about our church, or if you'd like to hear more messages, you can visit vibechurch.com or download our app. Now get ready to receive a word from the Lord.
Amen. Can we take a moment and can we just acknowledge how great the Lord is in our lives? If you're watching online, if you're sitting here in your car in the parking lot right now, Father, in Jesus' name, we worship you, we love you, and we just declare, Lord, you're great. You're greatly to be praised. And today we acknowledge that. Today we worship you and we surrender ourselves to you. Would you just open your heart to him right now? Would you open your heart to him to allow him to touch you, to change you, to transform you? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, have your way in us. Have your way in us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, good morning, everyone. All right. Hey, so glad to see everybody here at Drive-In Church. Also online, if you're watching, we're glad that you're here. You joined us for worship. I know people all over are watching. And so what a great day. It's Palm Sunday, and we're here to celebrate Jesus. And I want to let you know, next week, of course, is Easter Sunday. I'm excited about it. You can't stop Easter. You can't stop Jesus from raising from the dead, and you can't stop us from celebrating that. And so we're going to worship the Lord next week. And so I want to invite you to join us again. If you can't be here in person or in your car, then join us online. But if you can be here, we would love for you to be here with us. We're going to be receiving communion together next week in a very unique way with individual, you know, communion things and all that. So it's going to be a great time. We're also going to have a selfie station set up. So we have a banner for Easter. So I'll give you a chance to go ahead and dress up with your family. And so you can get your Easter pictures. All right. We'll keep your family separate and all that stuff. So we got plans to keep it all clean and all. So anyway, hey, I've got a serious question for you. I'm going to jump right into the message. I went a little long in the first service, but I have a really serious question. How do you know that the wet wipes that you've been using, how do you know that they kill that virus that we can't see, that germ, that virus called COVID-19? How do you know that? Now, I'm not trying to sow any doubt in your mind, because I use wet wipes a lot. I use hand sanitizer all the time, but I'm just curious. And like, I've been thinking about it. I'm looking at this thing and I'm saying, it says kills 99.9% of bacteria. What about that 0.01 thing? You know, I'm not sure. What about that hand sanitizer? You know, how do you know that smells great? You know, has a little aloe in it. It just moisturizes your hands while it sanitizes your hands. But how do we know that this stuff is killing this virus? How do we know the Lysol that we spray all over the place, or the bleach that we use, is killing? Now, again, I'm not trying to sow any doubt. I'm not saying I encourage you to use it. I'm using it, but how do we know? How do we know? Because so many times we put so much trust in products and things. We really put our trust in it so much that, you know, we trust our lives with it. And how do we know that, right? How do we know that it's actually doing? I hope it is. Oh, we hope it is, but we put our trust in it, right? I mean, we so much so that you can't find that stuff on the shelves anywhere. So people are putting their trust in it. I was in Mexico this summer on a missions trip in Puebla, Mexico, Puebla City. And, we had a great time in ministry. We do a lot of missions trips here at Vibe Church. And so when you're in countries like Mexico, and the same thing in Honduras, we've done a lot of ministry there, is that you don't drink the water. It's not a joke. You don't drink the water out of the tap. And so everybody drinks water, either bottled water, the little bottles, or bottles that are big jugs that are like water cooler bottles. And so you know, of course, that's what we're drinking. That's what people prepare. You know, they're preparing our food. They're using that kind of water and all. And I always wondered, where do they produce that stuff? Like, where is that stuff? You know, like, where do they bottle it? And what's the you know, bottling place look like? Well, the church that we were doing ministry in just happened to have a bottling station right there next to it. It was like a little storefront. I didn't know that until one day we were waiting outside and this big tanker truck, like a fuel truck, rolls up and they have this big hose. The guy hauls the hose in and there's this big clear container about the size of this, maybe a little bigger than this canopy. And he turns, you know, plugs it on and then turns on a pump and it starts filling this thing with water. And these kids then grab this garden hose that's coming out of that tank and stick it into the blue containers and just start filling them up. And I'm like, wow, that's the water we're drinking. I don't know where that came from. I know it just rolled in from this truck, but we are, I'm trusting, you know, my intestines with the, you know, the fact that this stuff's pure. This stuff is not going to hurt me. And here's the thing that once they got them full, they put these plastic lids on them, you know, popped them on there. And then they took these little plastic shrink wrap things, put them over top of the plastic, took a heat gun and was just heating them up, and it shrink wraps it. And it gives you that, like, oh, this is official. And I'm just sitting there and I'm watching it and I just feel like the Lord spoke to me and said, wow, how much trust we put in things that we have no idea. But what about our trust in the Lord? You know, how much do we really trust the Lord? But yeah, we will trust things. We will trust our lives with things that we really have no real knowledge and no real experience with. And so I'm just sitting there and I'm just taking it all in. And I thought, I need to get one of those wrappers. And so I asked the little kid, you know, probably about 10 years old. I said, you know, hey, can I have one of those? And he looks at me like, you're a crazy gringo. What do you want one of those for? And I have just carried this around in my wallet. This is a reminder to me of trust, of what we put our trust in. It spoke a very loud message to me. And I felt like this morning, this was something that I felt like the Lord put on my heart to share with you. Because you know, we're in this second week of our series called Exposed. And I think by now most of us have known somebody or know somebody who has been exposed to COVID-19. And we hear stories of people dying, and we hear stories of people being healed and, you know, restored, and, you know, all this stuff that's going on. But I think, and I believe, and this is why we're doing this series, I believe that we have all been exposed by the virus. I'm not talking about being exposed to the virus. I hope that we haven't been exposed to the virus, but I believe with all my heart, we have all been exposed by the virus. I think COVID-19 is exposing us. It's exposing what we trust in. You know, Genesis chapter 3 is not a story about a stolen piece of fruit, but it's really a story about creation saying to the Creator, I don't trust you. That's really what it's all about. Next week, we're going to dive into Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to talk about being exposed by sin. But it's not a story about a stolen piece of fruit. It's about creation. It's about mankind. It's about us saying to God, you know what, God, I don't trust you. I don't trust you with my destiny, with my future, with my plans. I don't trust you. I'm going to take it on myself. I want to control it all. I want to do it myself. I want to be my own God. That's what Genesis chapter 3 is all about. And I believe COVID-19 is exposing something in us. I believe it's exposing the gods that we worship. Now, most people would say, man, I don't worship gods. I worship God. But I believe there's some things being exposed in us. I think there's some things that this pandemic, this thing that's affecting the entire world right now is exposing so much in us as humans, not just Americans, but us as humans. I believe it's exposing the gods of pleasure, the gods of greed, the god of lust. What is it that brings you peace? What is it that gives you that sense of peace? What is it that gives you hope? Where do you find purpose and meaning? What gives you security? What gives you that sense of security? You know, the people of Israel, the people of God, as we look at the Old Testament, we see from the very beginning, we see a people whose faith was formed, it was fashioned, it was developed, it was grown in the wilderness. You look at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, where their faith was formed, it was developed in the desert of Negev. Then you go on to, you see Moses, whose faith was formed and founded and strengthened in the desert when he looked at that burning bush and he heard God speak to him from it. And then the children of Israel, as they were brought out of Egypt and they were at Mount Sinai and God gave the Ten Commandments. It was in the wilderness. And for 40 years, as they wandered around in the wilderness, their faith was developed. And you see the people of God whose their faith was developed. Listen, God develops our faith in the wilderness. He develops our faith in those times where we feel like we're in a desert. But he develops our faith in those times. I think all of us, if we had a chance to just talk about it, we'd say, yeah, that's when I grew. That's when I really, that's when I began a relationship with the Lord. You know, when I came to that place in my life where I realized I can't do this on my own. Maybe I felt like I was at the bottom, you know, and I had to look up but we would say, you know, yeah, that was the place where it started with God. And that was the place where it started with the children of Israel. We see that all throughout the Old Testament. And there was no doubt that Yahweh was their God. And he was the God of the wilderness. And there is no doubt that our God is your God, the God of the wilderness, that he has brought you through, that he was with you and fed you and strengthened you, just like he did the children of Israel, just like he did his people in the Old Testament. Something happened though when God's people entered the promised land, and God always wants to take us to the promised land. He has blessing for us. He wants to provide for us. He wants us to be a blessing. And so in order for us to be a blessing, he wants to bless us, right? He wants to increase things in our lives. And so God brings us into the promised land. And when he did, when he brought his children, his people into the promised land in the book of Joshua, something happened. They encountered a people that they had never seen before. They encountered the Canaanites who were farmers, not herders, not nomadic people, but they were farmers. And the reason they were farmers is because the land was fertile. It produced things. It grew. The spies that went into the land said, man, it's just flowing with milk and honey. And this was a place that was so fertile and was experiencing the blessing of God. That's why it was the promised land. And so the children of Israel, as they walked into that, they experienced this people and these conditions that they never experienced before. See, it was way more fertile than anything that they had ever experienced as sheep herders wandering around in the desert. And the Canaanites attributed this fertility. They attributed the blessing that they experienced in that land. They attributed it to the gods of Baal, Asherah, and others. False gods. And so the children of Israel, the people of Israel, they're coming in contact with these Canaanites, and they're seeing the fertility of the land and the blessing of the land, and they're seeing that the Israelites or the Canaanites are worshiping other gods. And they wonder to themselves, can the God of the wilderness, can the God who was with us in the desert, could he be a God in the blessing? Could he be a God for us in this fertile place? And listen, can I just stop here for a second? Because I think so many times I've watched this happen as a pastor. I see people hit rock bottom and reach out to the Lord. And as God begins to do things in their lives and he's beginning to bless them in their lives, their heart begins to wander. And sometimes people, without even saying it, they don't necessarily say the words, but they wonder, you know, can God, the God who was with me in the wilderness, can he be with me in the plenty? Can he be with me in the blessing? And sometimes we allow our hearts to wander, just like the children of Israel. This was a common problem that they had. Their hearts were constantly wandering. Could the God who led them out of Egypt and through the wilderness also provide fertile farms in the promised land? Or was that Baal's job? Was that Asherah's job? Or would the fertility God of Canaan have to be honored? Maybe to be safe, they should worship both Yahweh and Baal. And the battle begins in their minds. It began in their hearts. And it started then. And it ran all through, if you read through the Old Testament, it runs through the book of Judges and then into the book of Kings. And you see this struggle that they constantly have where the people of God turn away from God. And then they experience things that happen and then they turn their heart back to God. And then they turn away from God. And it's just a constant back and forth. And by the time of King Ahab and Jezebel, all of these fertility cults, these false gods, appeared to have taken hold of the nation of Israel. And it became really the official religion by the time of King Ahab and Jezebel. Now, Ahab and Jezebel built this temple to Baal in Samaria at the capital. And prophets, people, men of God who were called by God to call back the nation of Israel, to call back the people of God and to bring them back to God. People like Elijah, Hosea, actually Elijah, let me just stop. Elijah means Yahweh is God. What a powerful, powerful name. And Elijah, Hosea, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all of them preached and proclaimed that Yahweh alone is God. He's the one that deserves your allegiance. They would proclaim and they would preach that he's a jealous God. He's not jealous of you, he's jealous for you. He wants you to himself. He doesn't want to share your heart with Baal, with Asherah, with any others. He wants you to worship him alone. And these men preached and proclaimed, and you could probably guess they weren't real popular, because the people's hearts wandered away from the Lord. And they began to worship other gods. They began to take on those other gods. There's a story in 1 Kings, and I want to read it. It's a little bit long, so I want you to hang with me. You can go into the notes in our app, and you can read along with me. Or you can turn in your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17 through 39. If you're home, read along with your family. It's a powerful story. Let's read it. It says, when he saw Elijah, talking about Ahab, he said to him, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" "I have not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, "I'm the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let Baal's prophets choose one for themselves and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he is God." Then all the people said, "What you say is good." Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first. Since there are so many of you, call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire." So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. "Baal, answer us," they shouted, but there was no response. No one answered, and they danced around the altar that they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. "Shout louder," he said. "Surely he is a god. Perhaps he's deep in thought, or he's busy, or he's traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and must be awakened." So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice, but there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to the people, "Come here to me." They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Now, see, Ahab and Jezebel had allowed the altar of God to fall into ruins. They forgot about it. They didn't worship Yahweh. They didn't worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They didn't worship the creator God. They allowed that altar to fall into ruins. And I'm concerned, and I'm there's something that's gripped my heart that I think has been revealed to us. I think that what this virus has exposed in us as a human race is that we've allowed the altar to go unkept. We've allowed the altar to fall into ruins. That place of worship, that place of connection with God, we've allowed that to just fall into ruins. We don't maintain it. We don't take care of it. We don't take care of that connection and that point that we have with the Lord. And so Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it, large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Do it again," he said, and they did it again. "Do it a third time," he ordered, and they did it the third time. The water ran down the altar and even filled the trench. And at the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and he prayed, "Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God. You are God in Israel, and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you are Lord, that you are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell, burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, also licked up the water in the trench. And when all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and they cried out, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." What a powerful story of how the things that we allow our hearts to wander into and the things that we allow that spiritual adultery to take place, that we don't even realize it. It's subtle, it's casual, and what a powerful story of how God calls His people back, how He calls them back into a relationship. See, where we want to get back to normal, we just want things to be back to normal, right? Where we want to get back to normal, God says, "I just want to be your one and only. I want to be your one and only." I don't think we need to get back to normal. I get it. You know, there's all kinds of different things we mean by that, but I think God is exposing some things in us. He's exposing some things. What was it about this worship of Baal that was so enticing? I mean, to us in our Western culture and you know, that with the the Christian experience, the heritage, I guess, that we have, you know, the thought of worshiping some other God is kind of just far from our thinking. But what was it? What was it about this Baal worship, of this worship of Asherah, that was so enticing to the children of Israel? I mean, these are the people who watched God do powerful, miraculous things. He split the Red Sea and they walked on dry land. He fed them. And we're talking about over a million people, fed them in the desert for 40 years. He provided miraculously for them. He was there for them. He formed their faith and grew their faith. And this was the God that they knew. And what was it that once they came out of the wilderness and they came into the land of plenty, when they came into a situation of blessing, what was it that caused their hearts to just wander away from all of that? I think there's probably more than what I have, but I have three things that I think reasons why they kind of wandered in their faith, and not kinda, they did. One is the worship of Baal and Asherah held an allure to illicit sex. Part of the worship of Baal and Asherah, these were fertility gods, and part of their worship, a huge part of their worship, had to do around illicit sex. They even had prostitutes who were temple prostitutes, priests who, I mean, everything just centered and evolved around this illicit sex. And so that was the allure for them, that not only was Baal a God who would allow lust, but Baal was a God who encouraged it. And so there was an allure to that. And they allowed their hearts to wander. Listen, can I just tell you, church, we've allowed our hearts to wander when it comes to our sexuality. We have allowed our hearts to wander into things, and we would say, oh, I wouldn't worship another God, but we've allowed our hearts to wander away from the Lord. Another thing that I think caused the children of Israel, the people of God, to wander away from the God of their faith was peer pressure. See, the other nations, they worshiped Baal and Asherah. And so many Israelites felt that pull, and, you know, they wanted to be like the other nations. They wanted to be accepted, and they wanted to be a part of, and because of that, they caved in. Because of that, they made a place for these other gods. And the third reason that I think is that they could have a God that they could control. Man, that's, nothing's changed. We still want a God we can control. We try to control God, right? But see, they saw an opportunity that we could have a God that we can control, one that can fit our lifestyle, one without rules. See, they had just experienced the commands of God and the law of God. And so here's this, wow, here's a God that we can control, and that we don't have to have rules. We can do our own thing. We can kind of fit him into our box. And so I think that's one of the things that ruled or allured them or drew them in to this false worship. See, where we want to get back to normal, God wants to be our one and only. He wants to be our one and only. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm going to step out there and just say it. I'm not a prophet, first of all. I wouldn't even want that kind of ministry. But I'm going to say some things. Maybe you don't agree with me, but maybe you need to listen to me. Over the last 3 weeks, fear has gripped the hearts of so many people. It's gripped not only our nation, it's gripped our world. Shelves went empty for a while. Some are still empty. And all that people thought about, and I saw it, and it was exposed. I saw greed and selfishness and a self-preservation, not a concern about my neighbor, not a concern about anybody else, but just about me and protection. And I even saw it in the church. I saw it in the people of God, and it's alarming to me. I believe the God of greed was exposed. Our economy, it took a nosedive, and it's continuing to take a nosedive. I mean, things aren't going to be the same. We want it to be back to normal. We want this thing to just stop. We think, oh, you know, it's all going to come back. Things are not going to be the same. Tens of millions of people have lost their jobs. There are places of business that will never open the doors again. I'm not trying to sow fear. I'm just telling you, there's some things that have happened, some things that are changing around us that are huge. What are we going to do about it? How are we going to respond to this? And don't think for a moment that it caught God off guard, that he's wringing his hands wondering, oh my goodness, what kind of stimulus package can I throw at the nations to bring them back? He's saying, I want to be your one and only. I want to be your God. That's what he's saying. There are churches that probably will shut the doors because of this. There are things that are going to change drastically. I believe the God of security has been exposed. It's subtle, but you know what? We feel a sense of security when we have a good job, we got money in the bank, we know our bills are going to be paid, we know where our next meal's coming from. There's a sense of security, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong to have hope and have money. But if our hope is in our money, there's something wrong. If our security is in our money, there's something wrong. And I believe God is exposing some things. And who gives you security? Who is it that you trust? All of the sporting events have been shut down. I get it. It's a bummer. Beaches are shut down. Lakes are closed to public access. Parks are closed. Vacations have been canceled. I mean, everybody that had vacations for the summer, all canceled. I believe the God of pleasure is being exposed. It's not wrong to do fun things. Come on, I love fun. But I think sometimes at the cost of everything else, we choose fun. You know, when it comes to being a follower of Christ, it's like we put that on the side and we chase after things. I believe the God of pleasure is being exposed. In the last several weeks, all the garbage and all the crap from Hollywood has stopped. Things like, I mean, just a few years ago, we had the 50 Shades of Grey garbage come out and just constant garbage. It just kept getting worse and worse. And you know, I don't know about you, but I'm wondering how much worse can it get? But all of a sudden, just like that, it's shut off. I believe the God of lust has been exposed. God has been exposing some things. What and how are we going to respond? That's the question. See, he's jealous for us. He doesn't want to share us with anyone else. He doesn't want to share us with the God of lust, with the God of false security. He doesn't want to share us with the gods of pleasure. He doesn't want to share us with Baal or Asherah. He wants us to worship him alone. The question is, will you? See, where we want things to just get back to normal, he just says, I want to be your one and only. I want to be your one and only. He's jealous for us. You know, my wife is jealous for me. Not jealous of me. She's jealous for me. She does not want to share me with anybody else. And I do not and will not share her with anyone else. And you know what? The God that we serve, the God that formed us, knit us together in our mother's womb, our creator, he doesn't want to share us with anyone else. He wants us to worship him alone. Genesis 3 isn't about a piece of stolen fruit. It's about trust. It's about trust. Will you trust him? Will he be your one and only? Will you allow him to be your God in the blessing? Can he bless you? Can he bring you into a land that's fertile? Can he bring you into plenty and you still worship him and your heart is still his and his alone? Can he do that? See, in verse 39 says, when all the people saw this and saw what happened, when they saw it, they fell prostrate. They fell down on their face and they cried out, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, He is God. Can I call you back to that this morning? You're sitting here in your car, you're watching online, whether you're with your family or by yourself on your phone, wherever, but can I just call you back? Can I do that? Can I call you back? And can we say, the Lord, He is God? Not, well, the Lord and, you know, no. Not 99.9% like your hand sanitizer. God wants 100%. Can we come back to Him? Can we do that today? Can we just be honest and say, God, You're exposing some things in me. You're exposing some things in me. And I want to come back to You. I want my whole heart. We're not talking about even just being saved. We're just talking, just give Him your whole heart. Just like the people of Israel, they just said, no more false gods. Can I pray with you? Would you pray with me? Father, God, we acknowledge You're God. You're Lord. You alone. We give You our heart, not partly, not 99.9%, but 100%. God, we declare that our heart belongs to You. Our allegiance belongs to You. Our trust belongs to You. Our worship belongs to You. Our love belongs to You. You are our God, and we will worship You alone. We will worship You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. We're hoping that this message brought you to life. If you have any prayer requests or if you'd like to connect with our church family, you can email us at info@vibechurch.com or you can fill out the contact card section in our app. We're looking forward to hearing about all the ways that God is moving in your life. And until next time, go bring somebody to life.